Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime.
So I thought we would talk about this topic of when one door closes, another one opens. Better known in this office as rejection is God's protection. So, you know, what I mean when one door closes, I mean you've been rejected.
Yeah, and in one form or another.
Right, so you could have been fired, or maybe you didn't get the job you thought you were going to get, or you didn't get that promotion you were promised.
Right.
Or a client, you know, promised you a project and it didn't come through.
Right.
So that's what we're talking about, rejection or when a door closes. Yeah. And one of the things I've learned over the years is, you know, it always stings, but another one always opens. And when I was younger, I hated that phrase. Like, what doors? What are you talking about?
Right.
But it's true, and it doesn't always happen a minute later. It sometimes takes a week or
many, couple of years.
Well, not that long. Actually, for me, I don't think it's that long.
Well, actually, Kathy, I was thinking of our book, Working With You Is Killing Me, the first incarnation of it.
Right.
Remember, was called Familiar Company.
Uh-huh.
And our first agent, Meredith Bernstein.
Right.
And she put it out to 10 different publishers. They all rejected it.
We got those 10 lovely letters.
She sent us the 10 rejection letters. Yes, Logan.
Yeah, she sent us those
letters. It was a banner day when we got all of them.
It was really something else.
All in one package. And she said, you know, I can't sell this thing.
And well, it was more like, I'm not making any money here. And she slammed down the phone, basically fired us.
So anyway, we were pretty crushed. And it took us at least a year and a half, I think, honestly, to get to the next door.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. And that door was Mark Chimsky, this person we were introduced to, Melanie Hahn, Mark Chimsky. And he took our proposal and he said, this is still a great concept. You just have to completely change your approach.
Right.
Right. And he showed us.
One of the things he said that really sold me was he said, not only, you know, have I seen these rejection letters, I know the 10 people that wrote them.
That's
so
right.
I know what they mean, what they're saying.
That's
here.
Right.
Because we didn't understand what people were saying. They were saying, love the authors, love the concept, don't like where they're coming from. Or so, it's like it didn't make
sense. I need this book. One of
right,
them said.
I need this book, but.
But it doesn't
but
have
no,
a platform.
No one would buy it. That was what they said, but no one would buy it. We're like, how do you want it? But no one else does.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense. So he was able to really make sense for us.
Right.
So that's
That was about a year and a half.
You're right. It did take a long time.
Yeah.
And that was a long sell. And then I have another to add to Working With You Is Killing Me is that it was slotted to come out September 2005.
Yes.
And we had put everything on hold that summer because we knew the book was coming out and it was going to change everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we got an email saying that our book was not coming out.
In September 2005.
In September, that it was evergreen, which is a phrase I've never heard and now I know it well.
Yeah.
Which means it doesn't have an expiration date. It always, it's evergreen. It's always green.
But they had other titles that they wanted to put before ours.
Right.
That was the part that I took as an insult.
Right. It was someone who on Wall Street had a financial book coming out that they thought was time sensitive.
Yeah.
And he got our slot. And it would be coming out March of 2006. So I was devastated. I don't know. Were you, Catherine?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, okay. I wanted to take my choice. I wanted to take that book and go home.
Yeah, it was really rough. So that's 6 months later.
Yeah.
And then it turned out that first week in September, the Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans.
Oh.
And there was no news other than Katrina, rightly so.
Right.
And that book failed.
And our book would have failed.
Would have failed, right.
So and, rejection was protection.
And then March 2006. And six, when it did come out, there we were the news.
That's great.
And by the way, that same guy lobbied to get our second slot. And good news is they wouldn't Yeah, they wouldn't let him because he had already pulled that card.
Have to take turns.
Share. So That story in particular is one that I remember all the time.
Right. That was a door closing and another one opening.
Well, it was a benchmark for me to see the power behind, you know, that things are sometimes meant to be the way they are. And
right.
don't question it at the time. You know, feel crappy.
Right.
But there's a reason behind it.
Yeah. I think you have to allow yourself at least 48 hours to be devastated, and then you can... You know, if you trust.
What are you talking about? You have to be devastated instantly.
Allow 48 hours of devastation.
Oh, yeah. I see. So that's your bench. 48 hours. Okay.
I'd say at least. Mm-hmm. And then get to the next place. What mm-hmm. I mean, this is something you actually do very frequently for your clients, right? Mm-hmm. When you're doing executive coaching and someone gets a piece of news that he or she doesn't like and feels hurt by, mm-hmm. which we do, that happens. We felt very hurt when we were moved. We'd been told we were a lead title, right?
Yes.
And so all of a sudden we were not so leady.
No.
Not
and
so
also,
lovely.
When they told us that that was going to happen, it was a fait accompli. That was it. There was no
right.
discussion.
Right.
There wasn't a negotiation.
No.
It just was done.
Yeah.
It was mean.
And they didn't care.
And they didn't.
So, but
and they still don't.
That's what I mean. So that's if you lose a promotion.
And by the way, we're not too close with any of them either anymore.
Oh, by the way, they're whatever.
Most of them are unemployed. But anyway.
Many things have changed.
Right.
Many imprints have changed since then. So, but when someone comes to you and they've lost that promotion or haven't gotten mm-hmm. whatever it is that they were hoping for or were harshly criticized for something that they thought would be a wonderful accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
You allow them some time to at least have their feelings about it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's very real. Those are real feelings. You can't ignore them.
Right.
And it hurts. It always hurts
yeah.
to have a door slam or to be rejected.
Right.
Always. And that's real.
Yeah.
You put your hopes into something. But I like to take people through the process of going back and remembering in their lives when a door closed and another one opened.
Opened. Yes.
Or when they were rejected and then something happened after where they realized, ooh, that was protection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So to go back and to relook at that sometimes helps you see that, okay, I can live through this.
Right.
And
right.
There is something on the other side of it.
Right. And it's not a silver lining thing. It's more just like, okay, this is whatever this is was not meant to be for you. Mm-hmm. Something else is.
Mm-hmm.
Something else awaits you. And what you can do if you don't get lost in the sorrow or the bitterness of not getting that thing is be open to what that next opportunity is.
Many, many people feel it was their only opportunity.
Right.
You know, there's no other opportunity.
Sure, in the moment, it might feel that way.
It does feel that way. So that's a thinking I try to get people to, you know, move away from. There's always opportunities that you don't see in the moment because you're fixated on the one you thought.
Right.
Was mm-hmm. it.
Well, that's mm-hmm.
now this
that was
in,
my love life for many years.
I was going to make that segue not to your love life, but I think we all relate to the fact that, you know, many relationships don't last.
Mm-hmm.
You know, friendships don't last either. Some friendships are, you know, you think they're fabulous, you think they're going to last, and then they don't.
It's true. Yeah.
But you can look back and you're grateful for whatever experiences you had with that person and then realize, okay.
Yeah,
that
they taught their teachers.
Right.
Every
exactly.
relationship is a teacher, and I've had many teachers, so that's
mm-hmm.
that I can say.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's true. I mean, I will say, having had multiple rejections early in my life, each one taught me something more valuable about the next go-round, and ultimately I was able to get to a point where the wonderful person I'm with today, I could be available and appreciate
right.
the good things
mm-hmm.
about him.
That's right.
Which I wouldn't have previously.
Mm-hmm. So, right. Oh, really? Okay.
For me, absolutely. Because
right.
I had to keep going after the wrong kind of
right.
relationship before I could appreciate what a really good one
I see.
Felt like.
Yeah.
And looked like.
Yeah, that's probably true for all of us, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That some of them are just
it's life.
Practice.
Trial
life.
And error.
Right.
Trial
right.
and error.
It's true.
I was thinking of another one for me, which was years ago in college, during college applications, mm-hmm. I applied to 10 colleges, and I was the top of my class, and mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I applied to those colleges, assuming that if I was at the top of my class, I'd have a good chance of getting in.
Right.
I was rejected by 8 of those colleges, like flat out rejected. Mm-hmm. One was a waiting list, and the one I ended up going to was a January admission. Mm-hmm. And I felt like the biggest loser. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we went to graduation, everyone's like, where are you going? And I was sort of like, oh, you know, maybe, I don't know. Yeah. And but what ended up happening because of all those rejections was that I got a job at a shoe store that I was planning to do for the summer through the fall. Mm-hmm. And on August 30th, I got a call from Duke, which was the one school that gave me January admittance. Mm-hmm. Saying, we have a place for you, come.
Wow.
It turned out to be an amazing experience.
And you had to leave the shoe store, which is probably a good thing.
Well, that was also the shoe store where I had plantar wart on my foot, so I was a limping shoe salesman for that summer.
Isn't that the worst job? Did you like that job?
No, every customer was a potential thief in that particular neighborhood, it was a very stressful summer. So that call was a very exciting call for me.
Yeah.
But it was after having to come to terms with all these possibilities that I envisioned myself in.
Yeah, of course.
Being absolutely cut away.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing, too. The mind can create such grandiose thoughts and emotions
what's
going to happen. And then the reality is never anything like what our mind can create.
Right.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and that's what's interesting is success feels different from how we envision it too, right? So we had the wonderful experience of success with Working With You Is Killing Me and with the other books, but that one was just like a meteor. Mm-hmm. And what it meant was we were super busy, remember, with TV and radio and all kinds of interviews. But that was also, it was so exciting, but it was also really exhausting and really intense.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had lunch and it was over.
We had lunch and it was over?
With the publicist and our editor.
Oh, that was it like 6 months or something?
Yeah,
they took us out to lunch. And we thought they were going to give us a plan or something. And they said, well, okay, so it's goodbye.
Wow.
Yeah, there's some interesting treatment there you get in the publishing world. Now they don't even take you out to lunch. Now they don't even do that.
They just send you a text.
For nothing. They just do nothing.
Anyway, so rejection, protection. Rejection being protection and one closed door leading to another open one.
Yeah, I think it's really important if anyone is going through this right now, and we all do, is to just, take the sting, let it go, and Catherine's saying you can have a little bit of pain for she's saying 48 hours, I say less, much less.
Kathy's always more efficient emotionally.
Well, that's true. Because I think, I want you to just focus on, okay, where's that door going to open next?
Yeah.
Like, what is the next opportunity? Don't let what you're thinking is a fabulous opportunity that has just closed in your face. Don't assume that was a great opportunity. I would rather people start to see that as, oh, that was not meant for me.
Right. And where I'm coming from is that in order to really let go of a loss, you have to do some mourning. So, and everyone's process looks different.
That's right. There we go. She had to defend that comment.
No, I'm just saying based on my experience, my many, many years. Of my own experience, that I've had to be true to my own, like when the college thing happened, I got those rejections, back in April, March. I didn't need a summer, but I needed a few months to really collect my thoughts.
Well, I think there's major moments in life, and college acceptance is one of them.
Yeah.
Where that is a process that's very, very painful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You put it out there, and you're moving into the next level of your life.
Right.
So I know that's one of the worst. I also think your first divorce, many people have several divorces.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
There's really major moments in life when that door closes. That's really, really painful.
Yes.
But I'm thinking more like a job. Like an interview, a client.
Or a promotion or a raise.
Right. This isn't my crazy office, not my crazy life. Right, but they all kind of get mushed together in a way.
Yeah.
So I have one more example, which is before you and I really started working together, when I first got out of school.
Mm-hmm.
And
was that Duke?
That was Harvard, going to grad school and getting the master's in counseling. I got out, and I thought for some reason I wanted to be an HR. Mm-hmm. And I've shared this before, but I went on so many interviews with HR you know, specialists in various organizations. And the one that was like the total rejection was Chase Manhattan Bank. This guy who looked at my resume and he said, "You are way too weird for us."
Oh, you are. And thank you. That's a compliment.
Because I had the Peace Corps on it. I'd had the Peace Corps on it, which he said, you went to the Peace Corps. And I'd worked for this place called the Healing Foundation. He said, you worked for a Healing Foundation.
Oh, my God.
He kind of spit it all out. And he said, I would never hire you. And so I was like, uh-oh, I guess my career in HR is going to be short-lived.
Yeah.
But what happened?
Now you teach people like him in HR.
How to get along with them.
Oh, man.
But the beauty of that rejection, Kathy, was that I put that down, right? All right, well, human resources in a large corporate setting is not for me. Mm-hmm. So then I started my own practice, and Kathy and I were brought together by a mutual friend. We started working together, and I ended up being an employment counselor for senior citizens, which was fascinating because that was all about repackaging their skills at a point in time where they want to do part-time work, but they didn't know how to get back into the job market.
Right.
So and that so that was the open door. It was fantastic.
How long did it take you to heal from that interview?
Oh, that one only took about 48 hours, actually, because I thought I really didn't like the person.
Yeah. Well, hello. I mean,
too weird.
He should have never said that.
Never. That is so, talk about unprofessional.
Well, it was an information interview, so I think he thought he was doing me a favor.
And he did.
He did.
Did you ever see him again?
No. No, in fact, I think he lost his job about a year and a half later.
I bet he did.
Because they went through some restructuring.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Got to be careful mister, what you say to people.
Well, his door closed.
Yeah, and I bet another one opened for him, hopefully.
I'm sure another one did in some kind of straight-laced corporate environment.
Yeah. Where I thought you were going to say straight-laced lingerie store.
He belongs.
Is that next to the shoe store?
Exactly. Logan, have you ever had rejection leading to protection?
I'm sure I have.
Yeah.
With school, plenty of times.
Uh-huh.
With jobs, plenty of times when I first got out of audio school.
Uh-huh.
There were some studios that I tried to get employment in that I really thought, yeah, I want to work, you know, with musicians and producers. And then the environment was weird or, you know, and then actually you called me.
Uh-huh.
After I had just gotten out of an interview and I came here and I met with you guys, I think, the following week or a few days later. And
right.
Oh, interesting.
Landed this.
That was the door opening.
So that was a door opening, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting this podcast.
I mean, I've seen it many, many times when a client says, we're going to go with somebody local or we're going to go with somebody, I don't know, whatever. They have all kinds of, you know, things to say, more suited for our needs or whatever they say.
Right.
I usually within 24 hours, somebody walks right in unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of learned, and I don't want to call it magic. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
What is that? I don't know what that is. It's just the flow of energy.
Yeah, it is. I think that's right.
And it comes back to that, what you were saying about once you experience the rejection or the closed door, that then if you become available to say, okay, well, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
What are more opportunities available? That somehow is sending both an energetic message and a message to yourself that there's life beyond this and better life probably.
Mm-hmm.
So there are clients beyond the one that says no, plenty of clients and probably better ones.
You know, there are people that are very open to this, and I think that they do better. I've seen people close to the concept,
uh-huh.
and they don't even see the doors opening.
Yeah.
They just see close, close, close. They don't actually, they're not open.
Mm-hmm.
They reject it because it's not perfect. Well, or it's
you get so many rejections one after the other, can you become kind of stuck? Is that what happens with individuals like this?
I think you can become discouraged, and feel defeated. Yes. I also think from the term that I would use is that, you know, if you end up feeling bitter or resentful, that's not good, because that really, that gets stuck in your energy. Then you're, it's very hard to go forward when you're busy ruminating about what didn't happen.
Right.
You become distrustful.
Yeah.
I think.
Exactly.
So these are, you know, issues that you call Crowley about, because that's something else at work here. But for the general population, I think, you know, try this on. Just think about this concept.
Think about doors that have closed and then doors that have opened for you right afterwards.
Well, think about in your life, when has that happened?
Yeah.
All the way back to childhood. You know, something happened early on, and you know, maybe some group of kids rejected you, and then all of a sudden a new kid came in and became your best friend.
Right.
Like, just think about every time in your life when that happened, when a door shut and then another one opened. And also think about the time you lost something, not so much lost, but when you were rejected from something.
Yeah.
And how it actually was protection. Like, it was wrong for you.
I was thinking actually of a very specific client I worked with way back who was rejected from a job, a plum job that she really, really wanted. Mm-hmm. And what happened was that the company that rejected her went under investigation.
Uh-huh.
For
and she didn't know that.
No. And she came with the announcement to show me what had happened to them like 2 weeks after they'd told her they weren't going to take her. Mm-hmm. They'd sort of strung her along and said yes, 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 and then finally said no. And 2 weeks later, they were under investigation.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There you go.
So that was a great rejection protection story.
You know, I remember Nicole, my daughter, wanted to get into this one particular school, and she didn't get into that one, and they lost their accreditation a couple of years later.
Wow. Yeah.
And I remember we all thought, wow, we dodged that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's fascinating to me. So I just encourage people to look back and think about that to help them maybe adapt this way of thinking in the future, and hopefully this is helpful.
Yeah. All right, join us next time for another My Crazy Office Overtime.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.